buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's overtime with William Pattison and Dawson Wise, joining you on a Wednesday afternoon, live from Knoxville, Tennessee. And today we've got a special episode here of Overtime, special edition, I should say. And the NFL draft is tomorrow. We will both be on our coverage of the NFL draft tomorrow night, live on Fan Run Radio, beginning at 8 p.m. right after Overtime tomorrow night. So we'll be doing a little bit of a double duty tomorrow.
Back to back.
Yeah, back to back. But hey, that's
call us Kirby Cannell. We're going to be workhorses.
There we go.
4 or 5 innings.
There we go. So in preparation of the NFL draft tomorrow, today we will be doing a full round one mock draft with you over the next hour and 20 minutes. The Atlanta Braves, Miami Marlins set to play at 7:20, so we will go until 7:20 here on Fan Run Radio. We appreciate you listening along with us. And looking forward to this. I did this exercise on Monday on my podcast, and it's fun because you don't know who I'm going to take. I don't know who you're going to take,
right.
And it kind of goes that way. So I'm looking forward to it. Let's get right into it. As the NFL draft is tomorrow night, we're going to do, as I said earlier, a full round one mock draft. No trades because it just kind of mucks it up a little bit. But obviously, there are a couple of these picks that may be traded. We'll kind of highlight those. So stick around for some analysis, some picks, and everything here for the NFL draft as we get rolling. And I guess we'll go ahead and begin here with the number one pick, and it's the Chicago Bears on the clock. And I've got them taking Caleb Williams. No big surprise there. Caleb Williams out of USC, the quarterback, elite, improvisational talent. Really good off script. And I think that's a big thing that makes quarterbacks really good at the NFL level, their ability to go off script. Caleb Williams does that. His arm strength and his ability to pick apart defenses is the reason why he has been the number one pick, presumably, over the last 2 years in anticipation for this draft. So at the number one spot, the Chicago Bears will take Caleb Williams. Dawson, you're on the clock.
I might need that. So at number two, the Washington Commanders will be on the clock, and this is kind of where the decisions start in terms of quarterbacks. We anticipate Washington to take a quarterback. I've gone with a quarterback as well. I have them selecting LSU quarterback and Heisman winner Jaden Daniels. He's gotten a lot of attention since his pro day, kind of jumped Drake May a little bit in many of the mock drafts that I've seen. And I think Washington has shown that they'd rather have this mobile dual threat guy in Daniels than Drake May. Nothing against Drake May, but Jaden Daniels, kind of the more modern quarterback and, you know, a lot more upside with his ability, especially with his legs. Dual threat, electric, tons of upside. Needs to learn how to slide, needs to learn how to take some hits. I think Washington pulls the trigger and takes LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels on the clock at number two.
Yeah, it's been interesting to kind of monitor over the last couple months where, you know, who would be that second quarterback taken, because a year ago, Drake May was the presumed number one or number two pick behind Caleb Williams. Now, after the season that Jaden Daniels had at LSU, really wowed a lot of people. I think he's a lot more NFL ready. I think May has the bigger ceiling. But Daniels right now, what he's done the last 2 years at LSU, really, really impressive. So that brings the number three pick, and that's the New England Patriots, and I'm going to take Drake May. The Patriots need a quarterback. They've struggled offensively for a couple seasons now. They need a guy to start off this new non-Bill Belichick, non-Tom Brady era in New England. Drake May gives them that. I think Drake May is a really good prospect. I think he's got a couple things he needs to improve on. Sometimes locates his receivers a little bit late, but he's another guy that can extend plays and go off script. I think Drake May is a good starting point for a rebuild in New England.
Number four, is he going to hit close to home? My Arizona Cardinals currently hold the number four pick, and this is kind of where things could really start to get interesting in terms of trades. I'm not convinced yet that Arizona makes this selection at number four. There's a decent chance they move down with Minnesota or with New York or with the Broncos, but no trades in this exercise. and they have to take the best available, and that's wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. of Ohio State. I mean, this is the home run pick. I think from what I have heard from Arizona, you know, Arizona reporters, the team actually prefers Malik Nabers as a receiving prospect. I don't think you can pass up a prospect like Marvin Harrison, though. I think you have to take him. Elite playmaking ability, elite route running, good agility, good hands. I mean, he has everything you could want in a wide receiver, and he did everything to prove that during his career at Ohio State. If Arizona stays at four, which, again, we're not sure if they will until tomorrow night, I think they select Marvin Harrison at the fourth overall spot.
And Harrison's a guy we've talked about on here before. You know, he was not very involved in the pre-draft process, did not participate in the combine, didn't meet with the media, was kind of very distant from all that. And you question, okay, does that rub teams the wrong way, right? And Marvin Harrison, what he's done on the field at Ohio State, that's his resume. There's no knocking that. But I do question, do some teams look at him a little bit differently when they're comparing him to Nabers, who participated at least in a couple more events than Harrison did? Do you think that will be a worry or a question for any of these teams?
I think it's a worry for Arizona, and I think it has been since the combine. Now, if you'll remember, Arizona reporters did say that Marvin Harrison met with the Cardinals. He did not meet with the media, but he did meet with the Arizona Cardinals during the combine process. So they obviously they have had their meeting with him. So at this point, I'm not sure if they're really worried about it. I from what I've heard, they just prefer Nabers as a prospect.
Sure.
But again, I mean, between the name value and between what he did in college, it's going to be really hard for them to pass on Marvin Harrison.
Yeah. All right, at number five, it's the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, John Harbaugh coming in, Jim Harbaugh, I should say, Jim Harbaugh coming in, now totally changing the culture of what it's like to be a Charger now with Brandon Staley finally out of the way. This is a pick I went back and forth on because they've added Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, two running backs, Ravens running backs. We've seen the success the Ravens have had in the run game. Does that make you think, okay, maybe go offensive line here? Joe Alt is a really good offensive lineman. Not only does he provide pass blocking, he also provides really good run blocking. You know, protecting Justin Herbert, getting that run game going. But keep in mind, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, both leave. So there's a gaping hole in the wide receiver room. Quentin Johnston from TCU last year, one of their top picks, did not work out, did not pan out to what we think he should have been. So right here at five, I'm going Malik Nabers out of LSU, 6 foot, 199, all-time leader in receptions and receiving yards for LSU, explosive route running, nightmare matchup out of the slot. Nabers will be a big-time target for Justin Herbert.
Ah, that's tough because I had him going at six. So at six, it's the New York Giants, another team that is receiver needy. You know, they have Jalin Hyatt. They have a couple guys, but it's not a very good receiving room. It's not very deep. Nabers is gone. I would say Brian Thomas here, but this feels like a reach for Thomas at number six. So we'll go the other receiver. We'll go Roma Dunze at number six for the New York Giants. I feel like whichever one of those guys is not gone at this point is probably going to go to New York. So if two of them are picked before number six, if the Giants keep this pick, I think they're gonna take a receiver. In this case, we'll go with Washington's Roma Dunze. I mean, you want to talk about a playmaker, a route runner. I mean, a guy that knows how to get open. I mean, his entire 2023 season is a clinic in how to get open, how to get over coverage, and how to make contested catches as well. He's going to be a home run pick for whoever gets him, considering he's only looked at as the third best receiver in the class. Yeah. With the kind of upside he has, it's going to be a great pick for New York to add to Jalin Hyatt.
Yes.
Roma Dunze, Jalin Hyatt in New York. Watch out if they can get a quarterback as well.
there you go.
No straight to Daniel Jones. but I have one. Roma Dunze at number six for the Giants.
Yeah, you know, you talk about trades. The Giants are another team that's kind of been floating around, could possibly get in some trade talks. Daniel Jones is not the option. We all know that. Do you go ahead and now take in this quarterback class with four really good guys? Do you go ahead and try and move up?
I fought over it.
Yeah, but in the Giants also, the problem is they don't have that much talent around the roster either. So I think it's the safer route to go ahead and take a Dunze here. So I like that pick. I just, you know, Brian Daboll, so good, such a good offensive coach, such a good quarterback coach. You wish they had a more competent quarterback than Daniel Jones. All right, at seven, the Tennessee Titans are on the clock. Another team that has been kind of floated around to possibly take a wide receiver here. But you were able to acquire Calvin Ridley, which I think at least gives you a little bit of substance.
It does.
I'm going to go Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. the Titans had one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive line in the league last year. Joe Ault, who's 6'9", 321, is long and quick, outstanding feet and size. This is a significant upgrade for the Titans right away. The funny thing about Joe Ault, so I was listening to the OTP with Mike Keith, official Titans podcast, and they were talking about Joe Ault. He started off as a quarterback in high school.
Yeah.
And then moved to tight end, and then moved to the line. It, kind of a
quite a transition.
Yeah, a progression of, okay, this guy's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So quarterback to tight end to offensive lineman, and he's the best in this draft. Joe Ault to the Tennessee Titans.
The Atlanta Falcons have pick number 8. Again, another team that is looking at trades, but not really to trade up, more to trade down with a team like Minnesota. With them keeping this pick, I think the home run option, and a guy I've really liked since last year, is edge rusher Dallas Turner from Alabama at number 8. The Falcons, look, they've got a good young defensive core. They've got some pieces there led by A.J. Terrell. They lack an edge rusher. They lack that big-time quarterback pressuring presence. Mm-hmm. Dallas Turner gives you that. I mean, one of the most explosive steps in college, explosive first steps in college football, and a guy with a nose for the football. I mean, knows how to get in there, knows how to force turnovers. Saw him do it against Tennessee more than one time in his Alabama career. He would be a great fit on this young defense just to add to what is already a pretty good unit that lacks that little bit of pass rush juice since Grady Jarrett's getting a little bit older.
Sure.
Some of these guys have kind of moved on. They need to replace it. I like Dallas Turner at number 8 for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, great pick. And we saw him a couple times here in Knoxville in that game 2 years ago when Tennessee beat him. Had that really big fumble recovery
for
a touchdown. And he was all over the field every time in the SEC. That's a really good pick for Atlanta. So you take Turner. Chicago Bears at 9. I've got them written down. They've obviously already got Caleb Williams. I think their team needs are wide receiver and edge and an offensive tackle. However, this is another pick that could possibly get traded if the Bears want to drop back, get a couple more picks out of a 9. No trades in this exercise, so we'll stick here. I'm going to take an edge, and it's Latu out of UCLA.
Okay.
6'5", 259, an outstanding hand fighter on the line of scrimmage. Has a really great ability to get into the backfield and closes out well. I think he's a really good prospect. Maybe not as high as 9, but I think in this for the Bears right here, I think he'd be a really big addition to that defensive line that lost a couple guys last year. So Latu at 9.
New York Jets at 10, another pick that could go a bunch of different directions. A lot of mock drafts, and I mean a lot that I saw today, have them taking Georgia's record-breaking tight end Brock Bowers. I go a different route here.
Okay.
Because I think my thinking is that Brock Bowers is probably gone. I have the Bears taking him at 9.
Okay.
Because they already have Cole Kmet. If you could pair him with Brock Bowers and run a 2 tight end set, along with the receivers you already have, that's a very elite pass-catching room for Chicago, especially for Caleb Williams.
Sure.
If he comes in and is the guy of the future. So I had the Jets going offensive line, and I've gone with Olu Fashanu here.
Okay.
I know there's some debate on which of the offensive tackles goes here at 10. I have it being Fashanu, and it's because of his pass blocking. One of the most elite pass block, probably the most elite pass blocking offensive lineman in college football in 2023. No sacks given up, only 10 pressures given up, and look at the quarterback situation for the Jets. Aaron Rodgers, who gets injured last year on a hit in the backfield. You need to bolster your line to be able to protect him better if you're going to continue to ride out this experiment. Fashanu, an excellent pass blocker and the kind of guy that can step right in and revamp that offensive line. I like Olu Fashanu to the Jets at number 10.
Yeah, Fashanu is a very raw prospect. I think he's a guy that has a big ceiling. I mean, obviously a big dude, 6'6", 312. They got a couple really big offensive linemen in this class. But Fashanu, I think, is the most raw out of all of them, but probably has the highest ceiling. So a pretty nice pick there for the Jets, who definitely need an offensive line. You know, you bring in a couple of guys that are a little bit older. Fashanu can be a guy that might not start the season, but as the season goes on, could be a guy that is the starter going forward due to injury or just doing, outperforming the guys ahead of him. Fashanu is a nice pick there. All right, number 11, Minnesota Vikings. Now, obviously, this guy would probably not be available if there's some draft day trades, but I'm going to take J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. The Vikings, to me, have the best situation for any quarterback in this draft. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison at your disposal. A really good offensive-minded coach. This is a win-now environment, and you get a guy in J.J. McCarthy who's played in the big games, played in the Rose Bowl, played in the Tostitos Fiesta. I guess it's not Tostitos anymore, but played in the Fiesta Bowl.
I don't even know what it is.
Vizio, play whatever it is, PlayStation, whatever. But and also a national champion. A lot of people knock him because he was on Michigan. All he had to do was run the ball and rely on his defense. But he made some really big plays on third down of 10 or more, completed 65% of his passes. So when he was asked to be that big-time player, he was. I like J.J. McCarthy here for the Vikings, and I would not be surprised if they tried to move up at all either.
Another team at 12 that I think is on the move. I don't think they're going to stay at number 12, and that's the Denver Broncos. I had them taking McCarthy on the assumption that Sean Payton, I think, would prefer a quarterback like McCarthy in his system. I mean, look at Drew Brees is my example for this. J.J. McCarthy, not the same quarterback as Drew Brees, but similar, in my opinion, in style. I had McCarthy going here. If Denver sticks at 12, which, again, I don't think they will, I think they instead will go into the next guy that's going to fall in their lap at 12, and that would be Michael Penix of Washington. Another what I would think to be a really good pick here at 12. Again, you know, I don't think they take Bo Nix here, so I think you go with Penix. Good arm, good playmaking ability, able to go off script a little bit, and they pair him with what is still a decent receiving group there in Denver, led by Cortland Sutton and company. They would need to get some receiving help in the offseason, but I think Penix is still a good pick. I preferred McCarthy for the system, but I like Penix since McCarthy would already be gone.
And sorry for our camera audience. We had a little bit of a malfunction on the TV. Glad we could fix that real quick. Michael Penix, that's interesting. So I did – in my, you know, exercise similar to this on Monday, Bo Nix went ahead of Michael Penix. And I had Michael Penix going to the Dolphins at 21, and that was going to be my big surprise. I was waiting for that to happen. But Michael Penix here, and I think he's very, very good. His deep ball is the best in this draft. His accuracy down the field is the best in this draft. The worries about him are, okay, he's played 6 years of college. He's had a bunch of injuries. A little bit undersized. How does that relate to the NFL level? But, you know, Denver, Sean Payton's not here for a rebuild. He's here for a restart. Michael Penix would be a great option, much better than that circus show they have in their quarterback room right now. All right, at number 13, Las Vegas Raiders are on the clock. Another team in the realm for a quarterback, linebacker, offensive tackle. Kind of one of these spots where you go best available here. So I'm gonna go back and forth. You know what? Brock Bauer is still available. That's intriguing. I'm gonna go. Who do I take here? Okay, I'm gonna go with Troy Fatanu out of Washington. All right. And Fatanu's a guy who came into the NFL Combine with a lot of questions. Would his size be big enough to play guard or tackle in the NFL? Well, he outperformed his original metrics. I mean, he sized out well and sized out bigger than he was previously expected. So now people think he can play both guard and tackle. Troy Fatanu is a tenacious drive blocker. Teams could definitely run behind him, and this is a Raiders team that I think will run the ball a fair amount next year with Aiden O'Connell still their quarterback. I think they'll give O'Connell another chance next season to have a full year. Fatanu, at least now you have an offensive guard that is consistent and a guy that will be there for a couple of years. I'd rather get that than take a risk on the fifth best quarterback because a lot of teams in front of you took him. So I'm going to take Troy Fatanu out of Washington.
Saints are on the clock at 14, a team that is desperately in need of a receiver. Now they lose Michael Thomas in the offseason, so they go with the hometown boy, Brian Thomas, out of LSU here at 14. Again, this is a more fitting spot, I think, for him to be selected. I've seen some mocks that have Brian Thomas going as high as number 8, number 7. I'm not sure he's going to go that high as the fourth best receiver in the class. I think he'll fall here nicely to the Saints at 14. Again, you know, the Saints receiving room going into this year is going to be replacing Michael Thomas with A.T. Perry and Cedric Wilson. It's not going to do you anything long-term. You need to get a guy that can be a playmaker for you. Brian Thomas, look, kind of overlooked considering the top guys above him in this class. And so him going here at 14, a very overlooked spot for him to go. But good route runner, good playmaker, guy that can come in and immediately make an impact and replace Michael Thomas, because you need to do that in this offseason. And I think the Saints go with it here with Brian Thomas instead of LSU.
All right, yeah, that's a little bit higher than I had him. So I'm making an adjustment here. So at 15, I was going to go defense because the Colts are on the clock here, and they've already got their wide receivers. They retained Michael Pittman Jr. They've drafted well over the last couple of years in terms of receivers. Alex Pierce, Trey Downs from UNC. I'm going to go Brock Bowers here. You know, getting him at 15, a guy that probably should be a top 10 guy, is a really good value pick.
Yeah.
And you add that to Anthony Richardson's arsenal, now you've got a stacked group. I'm going to go Brock Bowers here at 15.
Well, I had Troy Fatanu at 16 to Seattle. Thought that was going to be a really nice marriage of the two there, with Ryan Grubb being the offensive coordinator in Seattle. So I will swap it, and I will go somebody who I actually just completely left out of my first round. I'll go with J.C. Latham here out of Alabama. An offensive tackle. Seahawks need offensive line help and need it desperately, especially on the run game. Latham, big size, can immediately kind of file into one of these spots. Fatanu is going to be more of an interior guy. Latham probably going to be more of a tackle, but can still slot in. They need help in the run game badly, like really badly. And they have a really good back in Kenneth Walker.
Yeah.
Need to get him some help. I think J.C. Latham gives you that help and adds some versatility to that offensive line. J.C. Latham at 16.
Yeah, another guy you talk about that is huge.
Big time size.
J.C. Yeah. Latham. All right, so we're about halfway through the draft now. So let's go ahead and run back through the order. Number one, Caleb Williams to Chicago. Number two, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. Drake May at 3 to the Patriots. Arizona Cardinals at 4 take Marvin Harrison Jr. 5, L.A. Chargers, Malik Nabers. 6, New York Giants, Roma Dunze. Tennessee Titans at 7, take Joe Alt. Number 8, the Atlanta Falcons take Dallas Turner. 9, Chicago Bears take Latu Latu out of UCLA. 10, the Jets take Fashanu out of Penn State. 11, the Vikings take J.J. McCarthy. 12, Denver Broncos get their quarterback in Michael Penix Jr. 13, the Raiders take Troy Fatanu out of Washington. 14, Saints go with Brian Thomas Jr. 15, Colts have Brock Bowers drop to them in their laps, and they'll take him, Brock Bowers, at 15. And 16, the Seattle Seahawks take the big offensive lineman J.C. Latham. All right, the first half of the first round is complete. We will head to a quick break, and we'll come back with picks 17 through 32 here on Overtime.
Are you ready to flash that dazzling smile? Well, look no further than Knoxville Smiles. Our experienced team is here to give you the care and attention you deserve. From routine checkups and cleanings to advanced cosmetic treatments, we've got you covered. Say goodbye to dental worries and hello to a confident, radiant smile. Don't wait any longer. Schedule your appointment today and unlock the power of your smile. Call 865-539-1776 to schedule your appointment today, or just visit KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
A brand built in Tennessee and born from the love of the game. Inward Half revolutionizes golfing comfort. Crafted by a former pro and dedicated enthusiast just like you, our luxury performance wear guarantees you stay cool and comfortable through every swing and every day. We're not just a brand. We've set out to create a lifestyle for those who understand that impeccable style and premium performance are a hole-in-one. Enjoy the walk-in with Inward Half.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I was afraid to cut the cord, but once I did, I couldn't believe it took so long to do it. Paying too much for my cable bill had become a bad habit. I either wasn't getting what I wanted or never knew where to find any of my favorite shows until it was too late. Plus, the prices just kept going up. Thankfully, I discovered a new way to watch, called Philo. For just $25 a month, I can catch all my favorite shows on networks like BET, MTV, and TLC. It even has Nickelodeon for my kids. I can watch anytime I want, anywhere I want. Plus, Philo lets me have up to 3 streams at once, so everyone can watch what they want at the same time. Throw in the unlimited DVR that saves all my favorites for up to a year, and this really is the best deal in TV. I just wish I hadn't waited so long. Sound too good to be true? Well, try it out for yourself, and you'll see why people who love TV love Philo. Go to philo.tv. That's P-H-I-L-O.tv and start your 7-day free trial now.
It's baseball season, meaning summer's just around the corner, and your friends at Fan Run Radio are here to help you kick off summer right at the ballpark. Join us for our first ever Fan Run Night at Smoky Stadium on May 30th. Besides the game with Chattanooga, there will be in-game activities, $3 beers for Thirsty Thursday, and you'll get to do it all with the Fan Run team. Also, 37 club members get free admission to the game. So keep it locked in on Fan Run Radio for more details to follow, and save the date for May 30th.
All right, back here on Overtime, we've gone through 16 picks in our Round 1 No Trades NFL Mock Draft. Right before we get back into the action with picks 17 through 32, let's head to the phones real quick. We've got Joshy Boy on the line. What's up, Joshy?
I like the pick you gave out for my Todd.
Joe Alt? Yeah, I think Joe Alt is...
No, I don't.
Oh, you
I
don't?
I really don't.
Oh, no. Why?
No. I really think Rand Carthon and Callahan should go after Malik Nabers if he's still there.
Well, in our mock draft, we have Nabers going at 5. I think... I think whoever the Chargers don't take is who the Titans will take. They're two teams looking for the same kind of players, either wide receivers or offensive linemen. I could see Joe Alt going at 5 to the Chargers, but
yeah. What if he does go to the Chargers at 5?
Oh, well, if he does,
Nabers goes to the Giants at 6.
Yeah, Nabers would go to the Giants at 6, and I think Rome Odunze would end up.
Odunze would go to Tennessee. I guess
I wouldn't mind Odunze.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the point I'm trying to make, William, is you can find an offensive lineman in any round in this draft, in my opinion. Once rounds 1 through 3 or 4, I think you can still get a pretty good offensive lineman.
Yeah, I agree, but like this is like kind of look at it like this: like Caleb Williams is the overall number one best quarterback, right? And the other quarterbacks are not bad. But, you know, there's a reason why they're not going 1. Joe Alt is the number one offensive lineman in this group. The other ones following him in the first round aren't bad, but they're not as good as Joe Alt. So I think if the longer you delay it, I mean, and Josh, the Titans had a terrible offensive line last year, one of the worst in the NFL. So I'm thinking, look, you've hit your quarterback with Will Levis. You got a guy in Calvin Ridley who's now an experienced veteran wide receiver.
But Ridley's old.
I agree, so, but you're gonna have to put up with him for 4 years.
Yeah,
I think you can't pass on Joe Alt if he comes to you.
But can you still get a decent wide receiver in the draft if you're the Titans, like at rounds 2 or 3?
Yes,
I mean you can get like a Keon Coleman. You can get a Ricky Pearsall out of Florida.
Be interesting to see where Xavier Worthy falls to.
Worthy. I mean, yeah, there are a couple guys you can get in the earlier second rounds. I think Ricky Pearsall is a guy that's a lot of people are not thinking to. Or I mean, Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina is another one.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think about Chaz Lanier from North Florida, basically putting like a no tag on like his teams.
Yeah, a no contact
tag. You think he's pretty much a vol?
Yes, I think he is. You know, this is a guy we've been following over the last month or so. A lot of people that we are close to have kind of monitored this situation and have kind of reassured us over the time that, you know, Lanier, if he were to enter the portal and not go to the NBA draft, that Tennessee would be one of his top teams, and now it seems like he will.
And Jordan Moore broke it from day one that he was pretty much involved.
Yeah, and that's, you know, without saying his name, that's basically who I'm giving credit to here. And
sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
But, one last question, William. Do you think tomorrow is the time if the Lakers are going to get a win, it's tomorrow night?
Yes. You have to, and I think it would be the time to get it done. You come back home in front of your home environment. You know, if you can get bigger production from you know, guys not named D'Angelo Russell, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis, I think you're in a lot better situation. You've got to get Rui and Anthony, Austin Reeves. That is, you've got to get their production upgraded and including the bench.
And one last question out the door. Who are you hoping your Jaguars take with their first pick. Y'all have a good night.
Yeah, very. Thank you so much for calling in, Joshy. Very timely of you because the Jaguars are at 17 here. Now, this is a pick that I've kind of gone back and forth on. There have been some reports today that Brandon Ayuk is still on the trading block, wants to get traded. The two teams that would be involved with that would be the Colts and the Jaguars. T. Higgins now requesting a trade. I'd much rather go get T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk. Problem is you got to pay him. But, you know, the defensive backs are also a big issue. So I'd go wide receiver if it's the right price, the right guy. But I'd much rather go buy one or go trade for one in Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins. But I'm going to take here at 17, Quinyon Mitchell. And I think he's the best cornerback in this group out of Toledo. Talk about a guy that made a name for himself in Mobile and at the NFL Combine. Ran a 4.33 40-yard dash. Really fast guy. Really nice frame. Covers the middle of the field really, really well in addition to man coverage. Quinyon Mitchell, to me, if I think he had a was wearing a cursive A on his nameplate and it said Alabama on it, I think this guy would have been talked about all year long. He comes from Toledo, decides to stay from going in the portal last year for another year at Toledo. Quinyon Mitchell will be a stud, and I've got the Jaguars taking Mitchell here at 17.
Bengals are at 18. Some news today helping out my my pick, making it pretty easy on me, as Trey Hendrickson requests a trade. Also, Joseph Asai is going to free agency after next season. Cincinnati's going to need some depth at the defensive tackle position, and I think the best pick for them is really going to be the only interior defensive lineman selected on day one, and that's Texas Tech's Byron Murphy II. Mm. You want to talk about an elite, explosive athlete. My goodness. This guy's got size and a speed and explosiveness and athleticism for his size that just, I mean, you're reading up on this guy, you're like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this guy for the athletic stats for his size is incredible. A guy that can have a big impact on any play, a guy that can really muck up the run game and get inside, be explosive, push the offensive line back and make a big impact. He would give the Bengals exactly what they're looking for on the defensive line and help them shore up some of this depth issues, especially now that Hendrickson wants out. The Bengals go with Byron Murphy II from Texas Tech.
Yeah, Murphy, during the combine, I was watching the drills, and my jaw dropped. I was like, this guy is this big, sitting at 6'1", 297, and he's moving like a quarterback. I mean, just precision, just his footwork is incredible. And talk about a guy that can disrupt an interior. Byron Murphy, I think in any other year he could very well go higher than 18 due to his upside. I love Byron Murphy, and that's a great pick. All right, 19. Los Angeles Rams are on the clock. Aaron Donald retired. Now they've got a missing part to that edge, and I'm going Jared Verse here out of Florida State. Verse is one of the most talented edge rushers in this class. Very well could have gone to the draft last year. Decides to stay another year at Florida State. I think that this gives now, you got Byron Young on one side, Jared Verse on the other. That's a pretty good defensive front. Two guys coming at you. Verse sits at 6'4", 254. I think he's got really good speed, really good instincts off the line. Jared Verse to the Rams makes too much sense to me.
Steelers at 20. You acquire Justin Fields in the offseason and Russell Wilson, but you know mostly Justin Fields. He's going to be your long-term starter now. Which means you need some offensive line help. I think one of the main things wrong in Chicago for Justin Fields was their offensive line was never all that great. It had started to improve this past season. Steelers need to improve that now to give Justin Fields some help. And so I have them going with Duke's offensive lineman Graham Barton here. Okay. I kind of fought with myself. There's several offensive linemen that are all kind of all over the place in the back half of the first round. Barton, I went with him because of his flexibility. He is expected to move in from tackle to center. He's actually panning out as an NFL center. Center, in my opinion, the most important position on the offensive line because of that connection with the quarterback. You go get a new quarterback, you need to go get a center that he can trust. A guy with athleticism, a guy that teams have wanted to plug in at center. I think the Steelers get him right here and get their center of the future in Graham Barton.
All right, so next up we got the Miami Dolphins at 21 on the clock. And in my other draft, I had Michael Penix here because I think that Tua Tagovailoa, I would not pay him. You've seen what he can do against the bad teams. He can't get it done against the good teams. But I would only draft Penix in this situation. I'm not drafting Nix. So I'm going to go in the interior defensive line here. Jazon Newton out of Illinois. Talk about a disruption on the defensive line. Really good run defender, really good hands. Reads blocks and reads where the ball is going very, very well. 6'2", 304. I mean, he looks like a guy that's going to be in the backfield. Jazon Newton out of Illinois would be my pick here to replace Christian Wilkins.
So the Eagles are at 22, and I had them going with Quinyon Mitchell when I first went through this. I think they still go corner. I don't think this is a position where you say, oh, well, our corner's gone, we're going to go best available. They need help in the secondary desperately. I mean, we talked about, you know, basically the entire back half of the season last year during the NFL season. This team was not good in the secondary. Their pass defense was not anything to look at and go, wow, that's really good. It was not. I had him going with Mitchell. I'll swap here and go with Terrion Arnold of Alabama, who, if he falls to 22, I feel like that's a pretty good steal for them at 22. Arguably one of the best corner prospects in the class. Big-time press guy, can fill that gap immediately and be that big-time pass defense guy that they don't have right now. Really great ball skills, able to really be a ball hawk as well. Good length, good size, and also can come in, play the run game, and be aggressive on defense, which is something that Philadelphia needs a little bit to kind of fix that weird defensive play scheme they have.
Yeah.
So I have the Eagles going with Terrion Arnold at 22.
All right, so at 23, the Minnesota Vikings are back on the clock in this exercise. They've already gotten J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. Now, when I look at the team needs, interior offensive lineman and an edge rusher, I'm going to go interior offensive lineman here with Talese Fuga out of Oregon State. An outstanding run blocker with strength to move defenders off the ball. His initial quickness to read defenders, or I guess offenders, no. Defenders is very, very good. Another guy that performed well in the combine, 6'6", 324, out of Oregon State. Kind of a little bit of a sleeper. Some guys value him very highly, some don't. But I'm going to take Talese Fuga here out of Oregon State.
24, the Cowboys. They could go a number of different ways with this pick. I've seen a lot of people saying they're going to pick receiver. I think they're somewhat set on receiver here. They also need a running back, but there's no running backs here in the first round. So I'm going offensive line. Dallas loses their starting center, and you'll have to forgive me because I can never pronounce this guy's name. Tyler Biadasz, I can't remember.
Okay.
He leaves in free agency. They lose a couple other offensive linemen as well, but center, again, so important. And so I have the Cowboys going center here with Oregon's Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
A good awareness guy, good power guy that can help you in pass blocking and run blocking as well. He's been good in both and grades out well in both. And feels like a home run at 24 for Dallas, who now you lose a Pro Bowl center. You're going to need to replace that position. I feel like Powers Johnson is that kind of guy that can come in and work with Dak and help rebuild this offensive line for Dallas, which is going through a bit of a revitalization, if you will. So at 24, I like the Cowboys taking Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon.
Yeah, I like that pick. Jackson Powers Johnson, I was very high on in the early draft process. Now, I think he's been outskilled and outgraded by a couple of guys as it's gone on. But that he's a guy that I think can make an instant impact, is obviously ready day one, and obviously losing a couple of key pieces, a couple of key veterans to that line. I think that's a great pick. All right, we got the Green Bay Packers up next. I've got him down for needing a defensive tackle, a linebacker, and an offensive tackle. Looking at the remaining guys, I'm going to go ahead and give him an edge rusher, linebacker. Hold on. Let's see here. Now, this is the kind of point where you're dwindling down your options. Defensive tackle. Let's look at the defensive tackle, because originally I had Byron Murphy in this group. I don't know if Braden Fisk out of Florida State, you can take this early. So we'll look at linebacker. I guess depending on what you think of Chop Robinson, you could maybe put him at linebacker. But I'm really not ready to take a linebacker at this point either. So I guess I'm going to go wide receiver here, or offensive tackle, I should say. I'm mixing up my notes. I'll go Armarius Mims from Georgia. And Armarius Mims is 6'8", 340. If that doesn't sound intimidating, then I don't know what does. Jordan Love had a really good last season. He expects to be the quarterback of the future of this group. There's not a better way to help your quarterback than adding a 6'8", 340 guy from Georgia. Mims started just 8 games at right tackle, and his tape's a little bit inconsistent. But I think you're getting him for the upside. Very similar to Fashanu out of Penn State. You're getting him because of the size he boasts and the potential that he could be long term. He has the frame, quickness, and strength, and all the intangibles to be successful. So I'm going to take the Packers here, taking Amarius Mims at 25.
Bucks are at 26, a team in need of several different positions. It seems like that the edge rusher is going to be their most pressing need at 26. They also trade Carlton Davis away, so they're going to need a corner. But McCollum seems to be the up-and-coming guy to replace Carlton Davis. They lose Shaq Barrett. They lose Devin White to free agency here in the offseason. They got to replace that linebacker edge spot. Penn State's Chop Robinson, I think, is the guy to do it. At 26, a really great pick. Elite athleticism, great explosiveness off the line, a ton of upside. The problem is he has underwhelming college numbers. So to use a first-round pick, a lot of people say, well, maybe that's a little bit of a stretch. I think the Bucks' need is too big to pass up on an athlete like this. And so for me, Chop Robinson is the home run pick for the Bucks at 26.
All right, at 27, we've got the Arizona Cardinals. And I'll let you kind of give your discourse on this pick. Do you think they stay put here at 27?
I don't know. I've seen several mocks. I've seen one that has them staying at 27 but trading away 4 and going down to like number 8, number 9, and getting another first-round pick.
Uh-huh.
I think it was Minnesota that was probably looking to give up their two first-round picks.
Uh-huh.
But I've also seen one that sees Arizona, you know, trading away 27 and 35 to move up a little bit.
Sure.
And get somebody else at 19. They'll probably stay put in this one. I don't see any reason to move, especially okay. If they can get a haul from Minnesota, get 2 extra first-round picks,
yeah.
Why move at that point?
Mm-hmm. All right, so Cardinals got their wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm going to have him go defense here with Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Wiggins was the only corner to run a sub-4.3 in the 40-yard dash at the combine, ran a 4.28. Now, pulled his hamstring, didn't participate in the rest of the action, but he has the start-stop ability as a cornerback to be able to match up with any of the top receivers in the NFL. Nate Wiggins, 6'1", 173, I think is a good option to help boost that secondary for the Cardinals.
I don't mind it. I think defensive line is going to be more of a need for Arizona. Okay. Defensive line linebacker is going to be more of a need. No linebacker's worth it. Defensive line, I think, is probably the way they go. Latu, I've seen mocked in this spot already. If he falls to us at 27, man, it's home.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I've seen defensive end edge more. But I like that pick. You know, you haven't had playmaking in the secondary really in a couple years for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Marco Wilson's certainly not giving you anything in the secondary. You need to revamp that position.
Yeah.
So that's a good pick. Buffalo Bills at 28. A lot of departures for Buffalo this offseason. It's made this a very fun pick. They can go a number of ways with this. I have them going receiver. That's got to be your most pressing need for Josh Allen. He's not going to be happy if you come away from the first round with no receiving help. And I have them going with Texas receiver A.D. Mitchell. I feel like this is probably your Gabe Davis replacement, that big game Gabe type of guy, the speedy big play guy that knows how to make those big-time momentum-shifting plays in games. Mitchell has a knack for it. He can get downfield. He can make defenders miss. He can shake off coverage. He is literally going to be just like Gabe Davis was for Josh Allen. I think it's a great pick for the Bills. I like A.D. Mitchell there at 28.
All right, next up on the clock is the Detroit Lions. And this past year, one of my biggest gripes about this Lions team, you had a playoff level offense. You had a playoff level defensive front. The second and third half of the Detroit defense was not good enough and cost them a lot of big games. You know, when we did our analysis on this, it was, okay, can the Lions get those big splash plays out of their secondary? And more times than not, they could not. Chauncey Garner-Johnson leaves in free agency, goes back to the Eagles. You've got a hole now in that secondary. I'm going Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. A guy that can come in automatically and make those splash plays in the secondary. I think this is a natural fit for the Lions and a big need.
The Ravens is a tough one because I had them taking Amarius Mims here. Their need is offensive line because their offensive line in this offseason has been decimated. Both starting guards leave in free agency, Kevin Zeitler and John Simpson. They trade away their starting right tackle, Morgan Moses. Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle, is now in a contract here. I could go edge here because that is gone. I just feel like offensive line is too much of a need. So I'm going to have them reach a little bit. I'm going to have them go for Oklahoma offensive lineman Tyler Guyton.
Okay.
A guy that, yeah, maybe not the value you want at number 30. I think Darius Robinson could be a pick for them here as well at the edge rush position out of Missouri. I'm going to go offensive line because you need to make a pick on the offensive line here in the first round because of the guys that you lost. The losses are too big for me. Guyton, again, a little bit of a reach, but still a good enough athlete to get on that offensive line and make something happen for the Ravens. So I like Baltimore to take Tyler Guyton of Oklahoma at number 30.
All right, and at 31, it's the San Francisco 49ers. Now, there's been a lot of discourse of what will they do with this pick because they've had a couple of guys leave, like Armstead goes to Jacksonville, Brandon Ayuk not very happy in San Francisco. I'm basing this pick off the fact that Brandon Ayuk is not there by the start of the season. I'm going Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. Gives him that wide receiver, 6'1", 221, who did really well at the combine, 4.39 40-yard dash, averaged 17.7 yards per catch in 2023. And we saw him, unfortunately, against Tennessee a couple times, make some big plays too. So I think Leggett is very underrated in this class. I've got him above Xavier Worthy. So I'm taking Xavier Leggett here in my pick.
It's kind of ironic you say that because the Kansas City Chiefs sit at 32, and they also, I feel like, will go receiver. And so I have them taking Texas Xavier Worthy. This feels like an Andy Reid pick. Xavier Worthy, that speedy, big playmaking wide receiver, feels like an Andy Reid pick at 32. I think they're going to go with him because a lot of issues in the receiving room last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it at length. Their receivers were not up to par, and they still won the Super Bowl. But they did not have a good enough receiving room to maintain that for years to come. They need to grab that big playmaker, the speedy playmaker, the closest thing they will have to Tyreek Hill since Tyreek Hill left Kansas City. Xavier Worthy gives you that. I mean, runs the fastest 40 time unofficially of all time at the combine, and is a guy that can get downfield, can make guys miss, can take the top off the defense, and is a nice counter to free agent signing Hollywood Brown. Kadarius Toney, if he ever gets to play in Kansas City again.
Yeah.
And Sky Moore, and obviously things up in the air still with Rashee Rice. So with all that said, I think the Chiefs go with Xavier Worthy of Texas at 32.
All right, and that's going to wrap up our round one mock draft. I'll go back down the list here. Chicago Bears at 1 take Caleb Williams. 2, the Washington Commanders take Jaden Daniels. 3, the New England Patriots take Drake May. 4, the Cardinals take Marvin Harrison Jr. 5, the Chargers take Malik Nabers. 6, the Giants select Rome Odunze. 7, the Titans take Joe Alt. 8, the Falcons take Dallas Turner. 9, the Bears take Latu. 10, the Jets draft Fashanu. I can't even pronounce his first name. Not even going to try. 11, the Vikings select J.J. McCarthy. 12, Broncos go with Michael Penix Jr. 13, Raiders go Tyler Fatanu out of Washington. 14, the Saints go with Brian Thomas Jr. 15, the Colts have Brock Bowers come to them and they take him at 15. 16, Seattle goes with J.C. Latham out of Alabama. 17, the Jacksonville Jaguars take Quinyon Mitchell. 18, the Bengals take Byron Murphy. 19, the Los Angeles Rams take Jared Verse. 20, the Steelers take Graham Barton out of Duke, a center. 21, the Dolphins go with Jerzon Newton out of Illinois, really good defensive tackle. 22, Philadelphia Eagles go with Terrion Arnold. 23, Vikings go with Talese Fuga out of Oregon State. 24, the Cowboys take Jackson Powers Johnson, really good center out of Oregon. 25, the Packers go with Armarius Mims of Georgia. 26, the Bucks go with Chop Robinson. 27, the Cardinals go with Nate Wiggins. And 28, the Buffalo Bills take A.D. Mitchell. 29, the Detroit Lions grab Kool-Aid McKinstry. 30, the Ravens go with Tyler Guyton. 31, the 49ers go with Xavier Leggett. And 32, the Chiefs go with Xavier Worthy. Real quick, right before we head to a break, your thoughts on our mock draft?
It's solid. It's about kind of where I expected things to go. A couple of repeats that I would have had that went before I had them going. But overall, I mean, for the most part, we somehow didn't kind of overlap very much.
Yeah.
It feels like fun little exercise, and I mean, ultimately, kind of feels like the way it's going to go tomorrow. Well, it's definitely not because of the trades, but it was a fun exercise nonetheless.
Yeah. All right. When we return, we'll give our best bets of the night. Stay right here on Overtime.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright irresponsible and plain bad coach. Then SM Athletics changed the game. I want you to picture this. I walk into their store, a coach with a vision. SM Athletics didn't just see a coach. They saw a team's potential. And they delivered custom uniforms so striking. Our team's spirit soared. From cutting-edge apparel to top-notch equipment, SM Athletics transformed our presence. No more unreliable online orders or envying the other team's style. SM Athletics stands for quality, design, and on-time delivery every time. Coaches, elevate your team with SM Athletics. Call 865-966-3434 or visit smathletics.com. Get the best for your team, delivered right and on time. So, elevate your team's game by contacting SM Athletics today.
Van Run Radio is proud to present the 37 Club, an exclusive community of the lifeblood of Van Run Radio. You, our biggest supporters. With a membership to the 37 Club, you receive exclusive content like podcasts, blogs, and videos, giveaways, and access to exclusive merchandise and events. So join the 37 Club today by going to fanrunradio.com.
Are you in need of a smile makeover? Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Costa at Knoxville Smiles. And if you're ready to improve your smile, replace teeth that are missing, make your dentures tighter, add implants to your mouth, whatever you may need, we're here to discuss a wide range of easy, pain-free cosmetic and restorative procedures that can create a glowing, radiant smile that you've always dreamed of. Don't wait any longer. The time is now. Call us today at Knoxville Smiles and schedule your appointment at 865-539-1776 or go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
Hey guys, it's Logan Quinton from the 920 Podcast and Fan Run Varsity Spotlight. Yes, it's the Cookie Man, and I'm here to tell you about something sweet. Crumbl Cookies is the fastest growing cookie company in the nation. After only 4 years, 500 plus stores are in operation in 50 states, with many more in build out. Just a reminder to go see the Crumbl crew at Parkside Drive or Clinton Highway. And please, come check out the new location in Maryville, 1765 West Broadway, Suite C.
Who's ready to watch your Southern League champs take the field for a fantastic 2024 season? All season long, your favorite nights are back, like Star Wars, Margaritaville, 4th of July, UT Night, and so much more. And don't forget, awesome daily promotions too, like All You Can Eat Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, Summer Fireworks Series, and Family Fun Day Sunday. Get your tickets for your favorite night now at SmokiesBaseball.com.
All right, back here on Overtime. Really good exercise in the first hour so far. Now time for our best bets. And I'll begin with the Celtics and Heat under 205.5. I think this is going to be another one of those runaway games. Not even Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier, if they were playing in this one, would ever be able to have a fighting chance against the Celtics defense and offense. The Celtics and Thunder are the only two teams in the NBA that are top five in both offense and defense, and I think a lot of that showed on Sunday when these two teams matched up. The defense in the playoffs has tightened up, and when you have the Heat who already are struggling to score baskets, I think the Celtics run away with this one, the under 205.5 in play.
Celtics minus 14.5. I'm just going to take them on the spread. This first game was not, you know, convincing at all that the Heat are even close to the same team. They really aren't the same without Jimmy Butler or Terry Rozier. That's going to seriously handicap that team. Injuries, inconsistency, especially at that point guard position, have plagued the team all year. They'll continue to do so because the Celtics are a buzzsaw. Like you said, top five in offense, top five in defense. The Heat have no answers for it, and I don't see them even coming close in game two at the Garden. Celtics minus 14.5.
All right, my second best bet of the night is Thunder minus 7.5 taking on the Pelicans. Look, you know, this is a young team. I think they settled in game one. Now, like we saw the Pacers do last night, they settle in game two and play a lot more like we've seen them play this season. Pelicans are a good group. The Thunder are a much better group. I think they settle in game two at home and they run away with this thing. I think it's a big indicator that they still have the spread at 7.5 when it was like 8.5, 9.5 last game. You know, they didn't really adjust too much based on the original outcome. I'll take the Thunder 7.5.
I went the other way. I'm going Pelicans plus 7.5, and it's because, you know, I kind of figured this would be a much more lopsided game one than it was because of no Zion Williamson on the floor.
Yeah.
And New Orleans went and proved me wrong. Trey Murphy, have a game, 21 in game one. And it's kind of begs the question, you know, no Zion, no problem. I kind of figured the Pelicans would flame out with no Zion Williamson. I figured they'd flame out with Zion Williamson. That has not happened. New Orleans forces a fire drill late by the West's number one seed. In game one, the Thunder escape with a two-point win.
Yeah.
The key tonight is going to be getting everyone involved. They had four starters in double figures in game one, and then trying to limit that young core for Oklahoma City. Holmgren, Jalen Williams, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander combined for, I think, 50 or 60 combined. They need to limit that a little bit more, but I think they can muck it up just enough to get within the spread and keep this one close, perhaps even maybe stealing game two on the road.
Yeah. All right, those are our best bets of the night. The under in the Celtics Heat game, 205.5, and then Thunder minus 7.5 for me.
I have Pelicans plus 7.5 and Celtics minus 14.5.
All right, the Marlins and Braves set to have a first pitch at 7:20 here on Fan Run Radio. Stick with us. We'll join you here for the next 20 minutes in the second hour of overtime.